Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.
Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition in that 8 o'clock hour on a Thursday night, which is the FSP Crew Show. I am your host, JT, aka The Master, and I'm joined by my esteemed fellow Jersey guy, like I always say, Jeff the Joker, and we make up two-thirds of the FSP Crew Show. We got a great show in store for you tonight. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to Jeff or me. We'll also have a chat room sitting out there for you for your chance to join the show. If you don't want to call in, you can jump into that chat room, express your thoughts in that, or question or comment. You can do all that in that chat room if you so please. Without further ado, I laid down all the particulars before so the show could start. Let's bring in my esteemed co-host and quite naturally get this show going. What's up there, Jeff?
Hey, Jerry. Thanks for the intro. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. You know, wait a minute. Well, I shouldn't say nothing much. You heard when I said I got the power. Well, there's a lot of things that are happening and a lot of authority that's authority figures wielding their power and influencing others to succumb to their power. And we'll start it off like this. New England Patriots got fined $1 million. One draft pick in 2016, another draft pick in 2017 for an organizational involvement in what has been coined since the beginning in Deflategate. Robert Kraft vehemently said that he was going to fight this up until the spring meetings, which was, I think, a two-day event. And then all of a sudden, we have a big turnaround. Newsflash, people, for those who don't know, Mr. Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, said that the reigning Super Bowl champions will accept their punishment from the NFL in, like I said, the Deflategate investigation. And like I said, they were fined $1 million and two draft picks, a 2016 first round pick and a fourth round pick in 2017. And like I said, that the NFL investigators found that Tom Brady was at least generally aware of a scheme to illegally deflate footballs for the AFC championship game. Now he was conciliatory in his tone when he was talking, that they said that the Patriots will not appeal the penalties. And this is a quote directly from Mr. Kraft. Although I might disagree with what is decided, I do have respect for Commissioner Roger Goodell and believe that he's doing what he perceived to be in the best interest of all 32 teams. While speaking to the media at the NFL owners meeting, so that in that spirit, I don't want to continue the rhetoric that's gone on for the last 4 months. I'm going to accept reluctantly what he has given to us and not continue this dialogue and rhetoric. We won't appeal. He said that he was putting the league before his franchise because at no time should the agenda of one team outweigh the collective good of the 32. Now, Jeff, this is what I'm going to pose to you, which I apparently, and it's pretty obviously what happened here. Some of his fellow owners that he listens to says this is not a fight that you can win. And also, it's not a fight that we want to take place at this time. Please, Robert, do not do this. You have to think of everyone, the collective, and not just yourself. So it came down to dollars and cents and a black eye on the league if the Patriots decided to appeal this and go to a lengthy legal process. So he nipped it in the bud, I should say, and decided to take his punishment, roll with the penalties, and move on. What's your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, I about a week ago, you know, this is all a big show. Kraft, of course, was very indignant and defiant, and many people, including myself, thought it was just a show because they'd be foolish to take it to court because then they would have power or subpoena and then they can get Brady's text messages, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, the thing is, people call the NFL owners the Billionaire Boys Club, and Kraft is one of the boys, and that's why he's going along with it. He doesn't, as much as he hates this, he doesn't want to become the next Al Davis or whatever. And, you know, this is just part of the show. This whole thing is a show. It's ridiculous. But, you know, Brady is still defiant. But I would be shocked if he takes it to court. The thing is, if you take the NFL to court, there's a good chance to win. But this is not one of those cases. And, I mean, the thing is, it's, you know, Goodell has turned this whole thing into such a joke because technically the penalty comes from Troy Vincent, who was hired and is supervised by Goodell. The appeal then goes to Goodell. That's not much. It's still not a real appeal. You know what I mean? But I guess it's more, it's better than when Goodell gave out the penalties and Goodell got the appeal, which made no sense whatsoever, but it's still a farce. Yeah, this is the NFL. This is what they're all about.
Well, you did mention Tom Brady, and there was widespread speculation that Kraft did this and dropping of the opposition and dropping his appeal in exchange for promises regarding who would handle Tom Brady's appeal. But the league made no assurances to the Patriots or Kraft regarding Brady's fate. Now, the NFLPA formally asked Goodell to recuse himself as the arbiter in Brady's appeal later to the Tuesday, following through on a statement sent to the league last week. George Atala, which if I'm not believe he's one of the legal representatives for the NFLPA, sent out a tweet, which was 2 days ago. What's today? Today's the 21st. Yes, 2 days ago. The Patriots may not appeal, but this will not impact the NFLPA appeal of the 4-game suspension of Tom Brady. And now, quite nastily, Kraft said he didn't agree, but like I said, he was thinking about the collective versus the individual, and he decided to move on. Now, this is very interesting because I want to move on. I'm going to stay with the Deflategate, but I'm going to move on from the organization to the individual. I'm going to talk about a comment, a fellow Hall of Fame or fellow Hall of Fame, a Hall of Fame quarterback, who's pretty widely respected and is a straight shooter for all intents and purposes. I'm talking about one of the faces of the franchise from the Buffalo Bills that's been in the news for health reasons over the last few years. I'm talking about Jim Kelly, who knows a few things about being an NFL quarterback. He also knows that New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady was knowingly involved in Deflategate and cheated. Now, I'm not just saying that. I'm looking at it in print. And this is a quote from Jim Kelly. "Oh, there's no doubt," Kelly told a panel of We Need to Talk. "There's no way that an equipment manager," and I had said this on several shows about this particular comment that he's going to make, a statement he's going to make. "There's no way that an equipment manager in the National Football League is going to do something to the football without the greatest quarterback ever to play knowing. You do something like that, you're going to get caught, and Tom didn't need to do it." The last sentence of Kelly's quote is the strongest. "Brady, one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL, didn't need underinflated balls to continue being great. In fact, having underinflated balls likely would have impacted the Patriots' 45-7 drubbing of the Indianapolis Colts or New England's eventual Super Bowl victory. In all, Deflategate is about as stupid and unnecessary a controversy as there could ever be. The amount of resources devoted by all parties involved in determining the Patriots and Brady's guilt is staggering, and all for an advantage of the team probably didn't even need." So it looks like Jim Kelly is saying that, and quite naturally, if any right-thinking person, Jeff, there we go. Never fails. Oh, reliable. Anyway. Jim Kelly has been echoing, like everyone else with any kind of common sense would think, an equipment manager just doesn't do things like mess with players' personal uniform or their equipment or the footballs without someone instructing them to do so. And that is the quarterback who handles the ball at every snap when he's on offense, likes it a certain way, and that's right out of the mouth of Tom Brady. He likes the ball a certain way, and in that certain way is going to be handled by the equipment manager. Quite naturally, Tom Brady doesn't do that task. He instructs someone to handle it. So it would only make sense that he knew about it. And now he's saying that that's not the case. He doesn't know how that happened, which is a bunch of crock. I understand a lot of people, maybe even you, Jeff, think that this is a lot to do about nothing, or that it's getting blown out of proportion. But it's a rule that someone deliberately tried to circumvent that rule and then trying to deny it and stonewalling the investigation by not cooperating fully, which is probably what got him really in a lot of trouble, is that he didn't want to cooperate, or he cooperated up to a certain point and said, "That's it. I'm not going any further," because I think if he went any further, it would prove out that he did, in fact, have something they would have more hardcore evidence than circumstantial. What's your thoughts? I know I said a mouthful. I went on for about a few minutes, but I wanted to get all my thoughts out. What's your thought?
The thing is, it's kind of like this point is made frequently with steroids, which is cheating. It's a different type of cheating than the ball deflation. If it doesn't make a difference, why would you bother doing it? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about ball deflation. I mean, the thing is, the NFL, when they switched to the current system in 2007, which, you know, the teams could, with, you know, within the rules, doctor the balls the way they want, you know, basically with putting them in the dryer and scrubbing them with a brush so that, you know, they're not too slick and, you know, the quarterback can get a good grip on it. And then, you know, they're supposed to inflate them within the guidelines, and then they give it to the refs before the game. But then the refs give it right back to them like an hour or so before the game, which doesn't make any sense. What's the point of testing something and then giving it right back for enough time to tamper with? That makes no sense whatsoever. You think the refs would maintain custody. So the fact that they switched to that is beyond stupid, you know? One of the interesting things that's come out is, and I think this is one of the benefits of a deflated ball, is since, not coincidentally, since 2007, the Patriots are last in fumbles, which, you know, you could say, well, you know, they have good fundamentals, well-coached team, yada, yada. Hey, a lot of the other teams, same thing. But, you know, and then this isn't proof, but let's say a guy like Danny Amendola, who for a wide receiver fumbled a lot, goes to the Patriots, and then, bam, all of a sudden he doesn't fumble anymore, you know?
Right.
So what did he used to say? Things that make you go,
Jeff, you there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That was
you finished? So, oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you had something else to say. All right. In these meetings that took place with the owners in the last few days, one of the things, there was a question that was asked to Roger Goodell. And I find it very interesting. So I wanted to pose it to you. The question was this: when there was an investigation on the league, there was an open book. Here's our stuff. You can look at it. Now, when Brady was asked to provide his stuff, maybe he resisted in giving some of his private communications. Did that have anything to do with the penalties that were imposed and maybe the sanctions that were done? And Goodell, after that question, this is his answer. Well, I think we were very clear in the letter, in Troy's letter, that non-cooperation was a factor in the discipline. Absolutely. You point out in Director Mueller's investigation, there was full cooperation. He had access to every text, every email, every bit of communication that I had and that everyone in our office had, and there were no restrictions on that whatsoever. So we do expect to have that in investigations. That's an important part of it. And when there isn't full cooperation, that is certainly part of the discipline. Now you would have to think that the NFL Players Association should be up in arms about that answer, for the simple fact is that they're looking for every bit of information that they wanted from Tom Brady, and Tom Brady resisted. But Goodell said that he expects players like Brady, when investigated, to give access to every text, every email, every bit of communication. And if they don't, like he said, that's certainly part of the discipline. In other words, this business believes it has the right to punish an employee, and in Brady's case, costing him about $2 million in salary over the 4-game suspension, if he or she does not turn over texts, emails, and other communication from personal phones or devices. Even if you answered every question an investigator has for you, as Brady did, why does the NFL think this is okay? What's your thoughts on that, Jeff?
You know, this is why I have a problem with the NFL trying to act like law enforcement, or the NCAA at times trying to act like they're law enforcement. Frequently, they penalize someone or a group, a program, whatever, for not necessarily for violating the rules, but for violating the NFL or violating the NCAA. Because the fact is, and I bet their investigators probably try to act, you know, like they're some kind of, you know, tough guy cop, but they don't have power of subpoena. And You know, the criminal justice system is not perfect, but it is a system. It works most of the time. I take my chances with that. I have very little faith in any kind of NFL investigation or any NCAA investigation. And the chances of this happening are slim. If they, I can't even imagine it, but if somebody from the NFL, the NCAA ever wanted to speak to me about something, I'd love to tell them to take a walk, because they're nothing. They don't have subpoena power. They're not cops. They're not anything like that. They're nothing. You know, they think they're something, but they're nothing. That's why the legal stuff with you know, the justice system, I guess this would fall under the aegis of the NFL, but, you know, this is all a show, and that's why I think Brady was suspended for 4 games, so this way they could bargain it down to 2. You know, he could appeal it down to 2. This is all a big, you know, a ballet of BS. This is all a show. It's a farce.
Well, don't you think I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Don't you think if you are a member of the NFL, which is, I think now, if it hasn't taken place, it's going to take place shortly, is no longer a not-for-profit, a nonprofit organization, that because you're a member of this organization, they have the right to lay the rules down and you have to abide by them. Otherwise, there's a possibility you may not be a part of the organization, any organization, either the team or the a member of the NFL, even though they have their own association, their own union. But we know a lot of players that have gotten blackballed and nobody wants anything to do with them. And they no longer are a member of the NFL because of a blacklisting. Don't you have because you're a member, because you're in the organization, you don't have the same type of rights that if you a regular person was that wasn't a member of the organization? You understand what I'm saying?
I'm not quite sure. I don't know if I quite get the question.
Well, you're a part of the NFL, so you have to...
An owner or a player?
Well, you're a player. Regardless, whether you're an owner or a player, you have to abide by the rules set down by the NFL. Quite naturally, the players are... depending on what the infraction is, players are going to be penalized differently than an owner or an organization. We've seen that in the past. So, but everyone has a general set of rules you have to abide by. And if texts wanted to be retrieved, emails want to be retrieved, any kind of electronic communications want to be retrieved for an investigation. Because you're a member of that organization, don't you give up your rights, a certain amount of rights, because you're a member of that organization? And in order to be a member of that organization,
you have to
give up those rights.
I got you, but, you know, some rights you still keep even in the workplace. You know what I mean? I mean, some things you sign away when you take a job, but some things you don't. So I guess it depends. And the thing is also in a job situation, you know, we've all seen it, there's not the same burden of proof as a court of law. So, you know, I mean, a job's usually they got to document before they fire somebody. But, you know, they're firing somebody, they're not sending someone to the joint. I mean, if they do fire someone unjustly, they could file a lawsuit or whatever. But so many times, you know, this goes back to like your first jobs. You can get in trouble because they think you did something. You know what I mean? And, you know, there's very little burden of proof. So, and I guess as long as they don't fire you, they just keep writing you up and making you miserable, they can get away with it, you know?
Okay. All right. Let's move on. You know what? Let me do it this way. Let me go to commercial break. Then we'll move on because there's a couple of things that I want to get out. We're staying in the NFL, but there's a couple of things that I want to get out. And we'll go to not a commercial break, but we'll go to a little break. We'll be right back in about 2 minutes. So take your little break and come back in 2 minutes and listen to the rest of the conversation. We'll be back.
Victor Gardner began the Fantasy Sports and Politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FSP himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further as The Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on The Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 and listen to other informative programs as well. That's The Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, The Master Plan.
All right. We are back. All right. I am JT, and I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Jeff the Joker. We make up the FSP Crew show. And if you want to join us, the number to call in is 347-637-3220. Say that again one more time, 347-637-3220. Like I always tell you, we also have a chat room sitting out there. If you want to convey your knowledge into the chat room, you can do that too. We'll address it when it comes up. All right. Let's move on. We're going to stay in the NFL. Another person, another authority figure who has the power. I keep on playing this, and I'll play it again. And it's Judge Michael Donnino, Atlantic City County judge, who on Thursday, dismissed domestic violence charges against Ray Rice. Quite naturally, for those who are been in a cocoon and don't know what happened, he was captured by a surveillance camera knocking his then fiance, now his wife, unconscious in a hotel elevator last year. The judge signed the order after Atlantic County prosecutor told him the former Baltimore Ravens running back had completed the terms of his pretrial and intervention. Under the terms of the program, Ray Rice paid $125 in fines and received anger management counseling. Now he was charged with third degree aggravated assault. And at the time, his attorney described it as a little more than a misunderstanding. Now, he hasn't signed with a team yet. And there's at least one team right off the top of my head that is a running back needy. And he hasn't had a workout for them. He appealed at the penalty when he first got it. An arbiter reinstated him. And like I said, he hasn't been signed with a team yet. And for those who are saying, well, why is he getting off that easy? New Jersey guideline advises that those who commit violent crimes should generally be rejected from the program. But the Atlantic County prosecutor, and his name is Jim McLean, who handled the case, said he signed off on it after reviewing the circumstances and consulting with Palmer, which is the Ray Rice's fiance at the time. Like I said, he's married to her now. After a grand jury indicted him. And the intervention program is seen as a key tool as the state tries to keep low-level suspects out of jail. So I don't know about other states, but I do know that New Jersey has a pretrial intervention program that has strict guidelines that you have to adhere to. If you don't adhere to them, if you wander or whatever else you want to call it away from that strict adherence, then all bets are off, and whatever your sentence or would be, guess what? You're going away. So defendants can have charges dismissed if they meet all the program's conditions, which can include random urine testing, community service and restitution, PTI supervision averages from 1 to 3 years. So, and I could give you some statistics, but I'm not going to do that. I just want to, those who don't understand the PTI, which is pretrial intervention program, that what is what it is, and what takes place when you're in that program. Jets, Ray Rice, he has been, the charges have been dismissed. He's a clear man now, I should say, even though he still has the stigma of being a domestic violence offender. And I don't know if he's considered a pariah, but this could be the case. I had talked about it earlier. This could be a case. Because he hasn't signed with a team, and I think he probably has more gas left in the tank than most people think, that he may be blacklisted and not going to anybody because of no one wants to touch him because of the PR or for whatever reason. What's your thoughts? I gave you a lot again, and the floor is yours for as long as you need it.
You know, the big issue is Rice's last season, his yards per carry were, like, you know, I sound like a heel bringing this up, was 3.1. I mean, so the perception is he's got a lot of mileage. He's past his prime. I mean, yards per carry are huge for a running back. If he was coming off, he was out all last year, but if the previous year he had better numbers, there'd be more interest.
Jeff, can I interrupt you for a minute? Because I want to interject this. This is a valid reason. This is absolute what I believe took place and why his numbers dropped. It was twofold. One, he had a hip injury that he never got over that year. And two, the offensive line for the Baltimore Ravens was absolutely abysmal. And everybody who was running back behind that line, their average per carry dropped in that year. So, in my opinion, there were extenuating circumstances. And he was due to make a big comeback because he was fully healthy and they had improved the offensive line last year until this this event happened. I'm sorry for interrupt you. Go right ahead.
No, it's relevant, but but I'm sure people are still looking at that. The thing is, needless to say, I mean, what he did was horrible. But if, for lack of a better term, I'm a Ray Rice sympathizer because I was familiar with him before he played for the Ravens. He went to Rutgers, had a standing career there. He's from New Rochelle, New York. I don't think the guy has had a bad parking ticket before that unfortunate incident.
Right.
I don't think it'll happen. I doubt it would happen. I wouldn't have a problem if the Giants gave him a shot because they're going into the season. They signed, what's that guy's name? Ridley. Vereen. Not the fumbler, the guy who's hurt half the time. And then they got another guy who, Jennings, who's hurt half the time. So they'll be lucky if they can get, 16 starts between the two of them. And, I'm serious. They should have signed McFadden, if they really like these injury-prone running backs. And Ray Rice, for his career, has been good, steady, good receiver, like a workhorse kind of back.
Right.
And, this same guy used to go back to New Rochelle in the offseason, which a lot of players do, and he would even work out at the high school he attended. He's still very close with the coach there. And I always thought that's pretty cool, especially for those high school players who could say, hey, I work out with Ray Rice. Yeah, I'm buddies with him, I'd like to see him get a shot, but it's not up to me. But let's say, considering the situation in 2013, if he was, a little younger, coming off a better season, whatever, he might be more likely to take a shot. The teams, they're going to make a question. Is it worth the bad publicity, whatever? I don't know. But, I'll tell you, I remember very few guys who've played for the Giants who I didn't root for. They gave a break to a guy. You remember Christian Peter?
Sure.
And I did not like that guy. And I read the interview with him in the newspaper. And then I'm reading this interview. And this guy, and he didn't have one incident. This guy had a rap sheet, a real rap sheet. And this whole rap sheet, he's got a song and dance for everything. And after a while, it just doesn't add up. You know what I'm saying? And he did, as a Giant, he finally cleaned up his act and he stayed out of trouble. But they never should have signed that guy in the first place. And that guy was lucky he wasn't behind bars. I mean, that guy was
right.
Bomb. And it was and the thing that in that article I remember that blew me away was his last offense in college. He had a bunch. His song and dance for that was, he was taking the rap for someone else. It was someone he was very close with who couldn't handle it. And I'm trying to think. I was like, oh, that must have been his brother, because he had a brother who also played at Nebraska. And I'm thinking, I don't buy it. When you get that kind of rap sheet, you're not taking a rap for somebody else. And if you do, you don't afterwards say you were. I mean, that's the kind of scumbag Christian Peter is. He was good enough, and I'll give him credit. He was a good, solid defensive tackle for the Giants, but I guess they figured it was, worth the distraction or whatever, because he was good. He was a good player, and he did have a decent NFL career.
Well, these are NFL football players, and play hard and party hard, I should say. that this is a extreme sport on the field, and a lot of them have extreme issues off the field. Speaking of that, we have another guy that may be in serious trouble. Stay tuned. We'll see what happens with Antonio Smith, a veteran defensive lineman who recently signed with the Denver Broncos earlier this year after he was released by the Raiders. It's under investigation. I don't know if you know about this, Jeff, for child abuse. For child abuse, according to TMZ. The Fort Bend County, Texas District Attorney, John Healy, tells TMZ that the Child Abuse Division is handling the case. No charges have been filed against Smith yet. A quote from Healy is, "We're trying to discern the truth from the untruthfulness of the claim to decide what charges, if any, will be filed." Now, before I go any further, we're trying to discern the truth from the untruthfulness of the claim. I don't know what that means, but I'm just reading what he said. And that's a quote, direct quote from him. And another quote is, "Last night, we became aware for the first time of an allegation involving Antonio Smith. We are now in the process of gathering information. Our sheriff's department has received some information. They were working with our office to try and find out as much information as we can about the allegation. At this particular point, anything in reference to Mr. Smith is just that, an allegation. Under the NFL's new personal conduct policy," and the reason, this is one of the reasons I'm bringing this up, "is that an allegation likely is enough to trigger an investigation. And if Smith ever is officially charged, he'll likely land on the commissioner's exempt list." Now, Greg Hardy knows that list well. Adrian Peterson knows that that list well, where he'll remain suspended with pay until the case is resolved and any league discipline against him is processed. Now, I don't know if this is a good thing and a bad thing, Jeff, is that no formal charges have been given out. There's just an allegation. And the legal authorities, the local legal authorities, are looking into the allegation. And what I understand, the NFL personal conduct policy, they don't need an indictment. An allegation is all they need. If I'm mistaken about that, explain to me, I am. And what's your thoughts on Antonio Smith possibly being involved in something like child abuse? And what's your thoughts on it altogether?
I don't like the way the NFL handles that. Not that I like child abuse, of course, but due process is for everyone. It's not just the bad guys. It's for you and me too, because even a good guy could be falsely accused. Now, I saw something, and I swear it was on a reputable site, but that doesn't mean it's accurate, that somebody in law enforcement said it was something of a sexual nature, which, if it's both, that's real bad then. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the thing is, most of the time in life, if you're accused of something, your employer does not have the authority to, suspend you, which I'm fine with that. Now, in certain situations, there's reasons for this. If, let's say, a teacher is accused of, let's say, child abuse or something like that, then they'll get suspended with pay. And you think, wow, suspended with pay. But this way, they'll get their due process, but also, you're being protective of the kids because you don't want a possible, abuser working with kids. And similar with cops, right? Sometimes if cops are being investigated for certain things, they'll be suspended with pay. Because, that's okay. But let's say if, you're just a regular Joe Sixpack and you're working a regular job, an accountant, a plumber, whatever, and, you got accused of, being a burglar or whatever, you're innocent, you want your day in court and be vindicated, your employer isn't going to suspend you. You know what I mean? It just I don't think that usually happens, only in certain things like, you know, teachers, cops, whatever. And I don't like the idea that they could suspend a guy just for being accused of something. It's just classic Goodell. You know, it still seems like he's making up this stuff as he goes along, and just lack of due process. I don't like it. And I think it's because they try to pander to simpletons and certain segments of the fans and the media. And the thing is, the NFL, it's a large league, about 1,600 players, maybe a little more if when you include everybody. That many people, there's going to be a couple bad apples. I'm all right with that. I mean, I don't like it, but it doesn't justify trampling all over everyone else's rights. And I don't think the NFL is a thug league. And if a few simpletons have that perception, that's their problem. And I don't believe in pandering to those type of people.
Okay. Well, all I can do say is stay tuned, people. You never know how this is going to pan out. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just putting it out there because it's in the news, and it's a very sensitive subject to the NFL and to fans of the NFL, and to, just like Jeff said, certain groups in society about the players in the NFL. And we'll have to wait and see in the coming weeks if it takes that long or days to see if it's actually something that is valid, or it's trying to find the truth from the untruthfulness of the claim, which I don't know what the hell that means, but it must mean something for someone to come out with it and actually say that to a media organization at TMZ. The truth from the untruthfulness of the claim. I thought I heard it all, but that is like, okay, you need an explanation just for that. But anyway, let's move on. We got about 12 minutes, and there's been two games played, a third game to be played today in the NBA playoffs, which is, I think, going to start in about 10, 15 minutes. I'm talking about the Golden State Warriors versus the Houston Rockets, that may be without Dwight Howard because of a knee injury that he sustained in the first game, which took place on Tuesday, something like that. The date escapes me. I think it was Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. And the Golden State Warriors won the first round of, excuse me, their first, yeah, first round. I make it the first round, which is the first game, a 110 to 106, if I'm not mistaken. And believe it or not, and I had talked about this before, Golden State on average scores just 110 points. And that's exactly what they scored on the first game. In the playoffs, but Houston scored a little bit more than the average that Golden State gives up, and for the most part made a fight of it in Golden State. I don't think I'm expecting anything different from what I saw on the first game. A lot of the Splash Brothers, Stephen Curry had more than 30 points in the first game. I expect the MVP to show out again at home, and maybe a better showing from Klay Thompson, who at times looked a little frustrated. And they hadn't turned the ball over, if I'm not mistaken, in the first half, maybe even to the third quarter before things got close and dicey in the second half, and they started turning the ball over. which I'm pretty sure they're going to clean up. And I saw a funny thing about this, Jeff, and hopefully I get this right. Steph Curry has a running with his mother, a running penalty, for lack of a better word, that for every turnover, he has to compensate his mother. So every time he turns a ball over, I saw this comment yesterday, every time he turns a ball over, he's thinking that that's one more thing I have to give my mother or buy her, or she's going to buy with whatever they decided on, which is cool. I think that's pretty cool. Mom's very, very into, sports, quite naturally. Del Curry, who she's married to, Steph Curry's father, was a prolific shooter in the NBA. Different shooter altogether than Steph. Steph's a better all-around player than Dale. Dale was mainly a spot-up shooter. Hardly played any defense. Just give me the ball in a certain spot and I'll shoot it. His mother, cognizant of her son and his turnovers. Now she never did this in college. Quite naturally, she never did it in high school. But now she's a pro player, and I don't know how this first started, but for every turnover that he has to compensate his mother. But that's just a little side note. But what's your thoughts, Jeff? Now, they won it by maybe 4 or 5 points, and they, for the most part, Dwight Howard didn't play in that game, a lot of it, because of the knee injury that he had. And I'm trying to find out if he's
going to be. He felt okay during warmups. He is playing tonight.
Okay, so because of his physical presence inside, it may make a difference. We'll have to wait and see. This is a must-win game. Let me put it this way: in my opinion, it's a must-win game for the Rockets, because the Rockets have not beaten the Golden State Warriors this year. 0-4 in a regular season and 0-1 in the playoffs. So right now they're 0-5 against the Golden State Warriors. And Golden State, like I said, scores on average of about 110 points, and the Rockets score an average of 104, I think, something like that. So what's your thoughts before we go to the other series? What's your thoughts on Golden State Warriors, Houston Rockets, game two in Golden State?
Yeah, that's tough. If Houston was 0-4 during the season and already they're down 1 in the series, that doesn't look good. I'll tell you, if Dwight really feels, like he can play, because, he might not get full starter minutes. If he could have a big game, God, the perception of him would go through the roof. But this might be a situation where it's just some teams just don't match up well against certain other teams, and this might be one of those type of games. But you never know, because, I hate to say it, Berman always says it, that's why they play the games. You never know. Somebody else on Houston besides Dwight could have a huge game, and as great as Curry is, he could have an off game. You don't know, and there's also – those aren't the only guys. There's, five starters and about usually 8 or 9 guys who get in the game. So somebody could step up big.
Yeah, it's true. And I'm predicting that there's going to be another Golden State win. I'm not a Dwight Howard fan, I don't know if he's going to make a big difference in this game. If he's able to sustain it and play effectively, he should – be a force, but I'm not a fan of his game. Anyway, let's move on to the other series that took place yesterday, last night, with the Cleveland Cavaliers going to the Atlanta Hawks, and a matchup to decide who's going to go to the conference. Who's going to represent the East in the NBA Finals? Cleveland won this game 97-89 with the history-making shooting of one ex-Knick called J.R. Smith, who hit 8 three-pointers in the game. Now, I had said this, and I don't know if I said it here, but I did say in a couple of shows, and definitely on the master plan, that I'm favoring Atlanta in this game. And I'm still favoring Atlanta because I'm not wavering in my with my thought process for the simple reason. And I had laid it down like this. Iman Shumpert and J.R. Smith are inconsistent. Now, you've got the hot shooting can't stop J.R. Smith on Wednesday. And that helped them get over the hump. They only won by 8 points against Atlanta. And with J.R. Smith scoring 28 points. And he scored a historical 8 points, eight threes. I don't think that's going to happen again to that extent. It took a history and an all-time high for J.R. Smith and for a player in the Cleveland Cavaliers organization for him to beat Atlanta at home. The only consistent player, in my opinion, in Cleveland is LeBron James, who's been there and done that. All these other pieces, now you got a hot shooting J.R. Smith to help you get over the hump, Cleveland, in the first game. Don't expect that in the second game because now the defense is going to really key on him, and I don't think he's going to come up with 15, 20 points. I'll be surprised if he gets to the 20-point mark because I don't think they're going to let that happen, which in turn gives me this. A team that plays team ball, in my opinion, beats a team that has a one-trick pony in LeBron James and is hoping for the ancillary pieces to pick up the slack. It happened in the first game. Don't count on it to happening consistently for four games to close out Atlanta. What's your thoughts, Jeff?
You know, blows me away. It seems every spring, the Knicks aren't in the playoffs, but plenty of former Knicks like J.R. Smith, Amon Shumpert, and a lot of are in the playoffs, you know? Yep. And, these three-point shooters, which I'm not a big fan of J.R. Smith, but hey, catch and shoot three-point, he's great at that. Not great at everything, but he could do. But that tends to be streaky. I don't have anything against Cleveland, but they're struggling because, Love is out for the year, and Irvin with the tendonitis, he's out. And if Cleveland falls short, which actually, I mean, I kind of want Cleveland to win because my mom's a big LeBron fan. And she didn't start watching sports till maybe 2 years ago. She started watching hoops. She loves LeBron. And she transferred her loyalties when he took his talents back to Cleveland. If Cleveland struggles without Irving, it goes to illustrate that you need depth in the NBA because, depth has been de-emphasized in recent years. It's all about, putting together, two, if you're lucky, three superstars and whatever. But, and I understand that. You need your stars, but also, you need a good, solid crew. And even some of these backups, the guys who don't play every night, you want good guys who, when you do call on them, could produce, not as much as football, but basketball is still a team sport. And, it's good to see some good team basketball. First time LeBron was with Cleveland, he got all the way to the finals he was the whole team. I mean, it's very rare that a team with only one star get that far, but if that star is LeBron, it can happen. But yeah, definitely Smith could have a cold night, and I have nothing against the guy, but I'm not a big fan. I like Shumpert a lot, and I like to see him have a big game. So very interesting series.
All right, Jeff, we come to the end of the show. Time flies when you're having fun. Is there anything that you want to say before we, or I may have missed, that you want to bring out briefly before we exit the show?
Today was the press conference. I kind of gave a preview of it a couple weeks ago of Isaiah Thomas returning to New York to be a co-owner and I think president of the New York Liberty. Isaiah is not a popular guy in New York, and he's still yet to be approved by, I think, the board of directors or the owners of the WNBA. I don't think it's a given that it'll get approved, but I don't like it because it puts him back with James Dolan and possibly could return in some capacity with the Knicks, which I don't want to see that. No one else wants to see it. I don't get it because he has a horrible track record. Why does he keep getting hired? And I even heard some people say it's insulting to the WNBA to bring in someone like him with a poor track record, plus the sexual harassment, which is an entirely different issue. But James Dolan is a big Isaiah fan, big, big fan, and I guess a very loyal friend to Isaiah for whatever reasons.
On that note, the I think there's been a group or filing or some type of organization is opposed, female organization is opposed to Isaiah being a owner of the New York Liberty. So there's definitely going to be some pushback and some resistance for him trying to get into that venue of the basketball. With that being said, I want to thank Jeff quite naturally for joining me today. For those who've listened up until this point or even catch in the archives, thanks for listening. If you pick us up in the archives, thanks for listening. If you picked us up and listened to us live, tune in next week at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday night where Jeff and I will be holding it down again as the FSP crew. Enjoy the rest of your evening. And Jeff, you have a good Memorial weekend, which takes place starting Friday. You got 3 days off. Memorial Day is on Monday, this coming Monday. So enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the barbecue and family and friends and loved ones. And we'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew, yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics, ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew, yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew, yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew, Fantasy Sports and Politics crew, yeah. Log on.